Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Ready, stand to your feet and give God a hand of praise. Amen. God. You may be seated. I got a little something in my mouth to keep my mouth moist this morning because I'm nervous. I almost never get nervous, but I'm nervous today because I had a message that I studied. This is one of those days. So I'm going to open the water and give thanks for his word. Apparently what I was going to say was my word. So glory to God for God's word. This is what he wanted me to say. And so I'm so glad to be here, right? I'm glad to be here because it's just a new day. Something beautiful about a new day. David said, I would have fainted had I not seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Just imagine not seeing anything good happening while you're here. Has anybody ever been depressed or gone through something and felt like everything was just bad all the time? And you just really wanted to give up because you couldn't see anything good? David said, I would have fainted. I would have gave up if I couldn't see the goodness of the Lord while I'm here on this side. I'm so glad to see the goodness of the Lord on this side. And when I was going through, I didn't know what it looked like. Now I know it looks like the horizon of a new sun, right? Now I know it looks like looking in friends' faces and people who care about me. Now I know it looks like being provided for. Everything ain't what I want it to be, but it's not what it could have been, right? So I'm thankful for it. Our scripture again is coming from St. John, the fourth chapter. I'm real nervous. These ain't need my glasses. I got borrowed eyes. This is good. Today I'm going to talk about leaning into the possibilities. Leaning into the possibilities, right? Somebody was talking to me the other day about riding a motorcycle. I said, why is it that when people ride a motorcycle, they lean in? I thought they were being cool. I didn't know. I said, do you do it for protection? I didn't want him to know I thought he was being cool. So I said, do you do it for protection or do you do it because of gravity? And he said, well, gravity is always there, but you do it because you want to keep control. So in order to maintain control, you lean in and it protects you from what could happen. And I thought about that. I said, man, that has a lot in it right there, right? Sometimes we need to lean in. Just to keep control. I have to lean in prayer sometimes. Just dive all the way in and just lean in. Because sometimes I feel like I'm losing control. And gravity or things that want to pull me down are always there. They never go away. I'll never get too high. They'll always be there. But thank God for control. I'm so glad. So today I want to talk about leaning into the possibilities. Possibilities. They are there. We have them. Possibilities. I love the word possibilities because possibility sounds like hope. possibility sounds like what could happen, what will happen if you allow it. In fact, in St. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, all things are possible if you believe. So we're leaning into the possibilities. And here in John, the fourth chapter, is the story of the woman at the well. One of my favorite stories. See, I've been somewhere in my life. And I'm not going to talk about where I've been, and I'm not going to talk about what I've done. And I want to move away from the text, but I don't want to leave my notes. So y'all watch me walk away so I can do what I was trained to do. But I don't want to leave this piece of paper because there's a lot of good stuff right here that I don't want to forget. I don't want to get sidetracked because as I was meditating a minute ago, the Spirit gave me this, and I thought that was so important. And I don't want to get so sidetracked about what I have to say because today my story is not important, right? What's important is to know that I've been through some things. And the reason that's important is because the things that I've been through helps me to understand the woman who was standing at the well. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit, so that I can tell you what I'm talking about. Beginning at verse 7, it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink." Let me back up a little bit. Let me start at verse 1 and say, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though John himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and parted again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it is about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink?" I want to stop right there and just let me just say something. The reason she asked him that is because the Samaritans were a mixed race, right? And the Jews were, if I say pure, will I sound racist? I don't want to sound like that. Sounds all right. I mean, they were Jewish. They were not mixed, right? But so when she said that, she saw that he was a Jew, and because they were not mixed and she was mixed, then what happened was they normally did not talk to each other because the Jews thought they were a little bit better than the Samaritans, right? So what happened was when she saw him standing there, a Jew, and I'm assuming she walked up to get a water, she's going to get a water and just walk on away. But what happened was when Jesus said something to her, it caught her off guard. Okay, let's continue. Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you the living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you hast not to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then thou the living water." In other words, what she was saying to him is, listen, now you telling me I should have asked you for a drink. If I had known who you were, I should have asked you for a drink. You don't even have a cup. You don't have a cup. You don't have a bucket. You don't have anything to draw water with. You're asking me for water because you see that I have my bucket. You don't have anything, and you're telling me that I should be asking you for a drink of water. Let's continue. Verse 12. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again." See, what happened was she got a little sidetracked. Now she's getting smart. You ain't no better than Jacob. You know, it's Jacob's well, and he had to draw with a cup or a bucket. What you talking about, living water? Are you better than our father Jacob? He my daddy too. You must be trying to play me because I'm not, you know, somebody that y'all talk to, but you're not going to play me. You know, I'm Jacob's daughter too. You know how we do. Let's continue. Verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this drink. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him or her a well of water springing up into everlasting. Okay. Now, I'm going to stop reading right there. Because the whole matter of thirst is what I'm thinking about. I got into a conversation with the pastor this morning and started talking about the matter of thirst. It's something that I understand, but I don't talk about it much. I just understand it, right? And so I'm going to talk about it a little bit because it has everything to do with leaning in for me today. Because I talk to a lot of young women, and I talk to a lot of young men. There's a phrase that we use all the time, and the phrase says, the thirst is real. You know, we identify people and we say, she's thirsty, he's thirsty. The thirst is real, right? And so when I look in this scripture, Jesus pretty much is saying to this woman that she's thirsty, right? Because if you go on and look into this scripture, you'll see that she had already been in relationships. And he's saying to her that you're in relationships with people and they have not even been your husband. In other words, what is a marriage? The marriage is the consummation and the commitment, right? The paperwork is ownership, right? It's for the law's sake. So when you have a marriage and you have the paper, what you're actually doing is showing the law, you can't take my husband because that's mine. He married me, right? So marriage is consummation and commitment. And when you don't have commitment, you only have consummation. What you have is fornication. Right? So Jesus is saying, you don't even have no commitment from nobody. Ain't nobody gave you no commitment. What they've given you is consummation. All you've been doing is just going around laying with people. You've had a few of them. And the one you're with now, you're probably living in a house with him. I can imagine she was living there because he said the one you have now is still not your husband. He still hasn't given you a commitment. The whole matter of thirst, right? The matter of thirst. See, we got women that we call whores today, right? We have men that we call whores today, right? And so they come to the well, to the place where people gather to quench their thirst. And what happens is you come in and what you want is commitment and what you get is consummation. No commitment. And because of that, people run back and forth, to and fro, looking for somebody to make a commitment. And so what Jesus is saying is, you got a cup, and you coming back to this well, and you keep coming back, and every time you leave, you seem to get another drop. You get a bucket of this water, but you get a drop in your spirit water, in your spirit cup. That water, you're not quenched. Because what happens is when you think about the whole matter of somebody sleeping with a lot of people, what they're doing is walking around an empty vessel, an empty cup, an empty bucket, trying to get a drop of water from him. You know the exchange. The exchange is a little bit of something physical for a little bit of something emotional. Y'all know how it is. That's what it is. That's really what it is. Because to men, we give them something physical, right? And in exchange, we get something emotional. If y'all know what I'm talking about, say amen. Yeah, that's what we do. And so we need to hear him say certain things. We want to feel him do certain things. We want to see him around the house. And that exchange makes us feel better. And what happens is Jesus said, you've been out making the exchange, but you have not gotten a commitment. But I want to tell you that I have something here with me. That's not only going to commit to you, but it's going to cause you to feel full and satisfied throughout eternity, right? So we've been calling people whores because the thirst is real. And what we've been doing is we've got people who go out here, and I can't get a commitment from him, and she couldn't get a commitment from one. So what she did is she had five, and he tell her something good. Baby, I love you. Baby, you look beautiful. Look at what you're wearing. I'll do anything. What you want me to do? I want you to have my baby. He tell her all the good stuff. And in telling her that, she gets a drop in her emotional cup. And in exchange, she gives him something physical. And when we don't know no better, guess what we do? We do that 10 times, 20 times. And before you know it, the numbers add up. And it doesn't only have to be something physical in exchange for emotional. But sometimes we have young men and young women who want to do something for other people. They go around and use all of their money and give it away to people because they want you to tell them, you're a good person. You have a good heart. And have you stick around so that they can get something emotional from you. But this whole matter of Jesus saying that I want to give you something, water, that's going to quench your thirst and spring into everlasting. What if, speaking of possibilities, right? What if you are thirsty? What if? It doesn't have to be for sex. It can be for anything. I've been thirsty for money. I didn't do all kind of stuff that some people do, but I've worked all kind of jobs. I've taken myself through something. I got a knee condition right now that the doctor said you got because you have done just way too much. Irreversible. It's a type of runner's knee. And so we've been hungry and thirsty for something. But the Bible says in Matthew, blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so Jesus is saying right here that I know you're thirsty, but I can fill you up. I don't hear many amens, but y'all know this is the truth, right? This is something that's real today. You might not tell nobody how much you desire, but God knows what you desire. God knows the lonely nights, right? God knows what it feels like to eat dinner every night by yourself. He knows how bad you've been dreaming and wanting to aspire and go a little bit higher, learn a little bit more. You might be in a satisfying relationship, but might not have a good job. What are you willing to do for it? What have you done? Right? So when it comes to being thirsty, we've all been there. And so this is about Jesus leaning into the possibility. Admitting to ourselves, yes, I have a thirst. Yes, there's a hunger. Yes, I'm missing something. My relationship is good, but I still want more. I've tried to talk about stuff, but don't nobody hear what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to tell you something, but you don't get it. You just don't get it. Well, you ought to be satisfied. You're getting paid good. You know, you got a nice car. You got a nice house, but it's not enough. But the possibilities. Jesus didn't stop there. He said water that springs into everlasting. Do you know everlasting water comes from a place where water, spirit is constantly flowing? So if you're talking about a constant flow, what you're talking about is something that never dries up. Right? The possibilities. If you're searching, if inside there's something that hungers and thirsts for anything, I use the example of the woman at the well because I understand her. I understand her because I know what it feels like to want relationship. I didn't do all of what she did. I haven't had as many partners as she's had, but I know what it feels like. And so I used her because I can relate to her, but I can also relate to the need and the thirst of having more, of being more. Of saying, Lord, I want more in you. I want to go a little higher. I want to be able to pray with people. I want to be able to talk to my family. And I want to be able to make a difference. Have you ever talked to somebody in your family and wished you could reach them, but you just did not know how? Have you ever seen people around you and you just wish you had the right words? You know they're this close and they can't see it, but what can I do? What if you lean into the possibility? What if you lean into the everlasting water? What if you allow God to take you to another level? What if you say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done? I want to give you 3 points of how to lean into the possibilities. Because today is Super Bowl. And while I was thinking about the woman at the well and some other things that I've been thinking about, I also thought about the Super Bowl today. Because I like New England. And I want them to win. I've been liking them for a long time. I knew people wouldn't like it. I thought I'd say it anyway. And so what I know about the men who are going to be playing today is that there are 3 things they have to be if they're going to lean into the possibilities of winning the Super Bowl. In order to get to the Super Bowl, they had to lean into the possibilities of even getting there. They had to lean into the possibility of winning. And so here are my 3 points. If you're going to lean into the possibilities, actually, let me tell you what all 3 are, and then I'm going to break them down. All 3. You got to be teachable, trainable, and coachable. Teachable, trainable, and coachable. Teachable. This one was hard for me. It's still hard for me, and I struggle with it. You never can learn enough. You'll never learn too much. But what if you lean into the possibility of learning something that you don't know? What if you allow somebody to tell you something that sounds familiar? And maybe you've been there before, but they can show you something in a way that you've never seen it before. What if you just listen? Listening is a way of becoming teachable. It's a way of leaning into the possibilities. What if you just be quiet? And don't tell people what you know about the subject. I was talking to a lady the other day, and I knew more about something than she knew. And every time I told her, she said, well, you should have came and heard what we had to say, because this is what we were doing. Well, girl, you should have been there. And every time I'm giving her a thought, she was saying, well, you know, the last time we said that, this is, and I thought to myself, you don't even need me. Not because you can't use what I have, but you'll never receive it. You've got to be teachable. Somebody can teach you something. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much you have grown, how mature you think you are. Everybody can learn something. Y'all ought to give God a hand for that. Everybody can learn something. But we don't want to be taught. We want to tell people what we know, because while you're sitting and hearing and learning, what happens is there's something in you that makes you feel a little inadequate on the spot. You got to come off the spot, because where you're going is greater than what you feel. Where you are is more important than what you think. But if you never know where you are, you'll never be able to get where you're going. The second thing is you got to be trainable. You know, somebody taught the football players how to play, right? They were little kids, and they didn't know how to play football. Somebody taught them all the hiking and the running. Somebody taught them how to carry the ball and to catch the ball. Somebody taught them everything. And then you have to be trainable. Trainable, that's doing something that brings you out of your comfort zone. You got to come out of your comfort zone. Trained people are not doing what they started out doing. Trained people start out thinking that something is one way, and then they dive into it, learn all the aspects of it, and become an expert because they are trained to do it. Training gives you second nature. Training. You got to be teachable. You got to be trainable. In order to be trained, you got to be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Trained people sit still. Before they go out on the field, there's a board in front of them in a room. And they're looking at plays, X's and O's, right? They're being trained. You got to be trainable. And the last thing, you got to be coachable. These guys, it doesn't matter what their names are. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It doesn't matter who the fullback is, the running back. It don't matter how many yards they go. It don't matter who got the last yard down. It just does not matter. You got to be coachable. Because it's not about what you think on the field. It's about the plays that the coach has given you. And if you don't play according to your coach, guess what? You're not going to work with the team. And if you work against your team, you're going to cost them points. You'll never make it to the Super Bowl. So you've got to be coachable. Coachable requires obedience. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat from the fat of the land. You got to be teachable. You got to be trainable. You've got to be coachable. And this is not on here, but I'm just going to throw this one in. And you got to be able to be mentored. Because even when you become the coach, somebody can still tell you something. Coaches have a place to consult. The pastor has a pastor who's his pastor, who he goes to when he needs to get consultation about what's going on here. I'm a mom, but somebody talks to me. We all have to be mentored. Teachable, trainable, coachable, mentored. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed. And he said to God, I have not lost one that you've given me, except the son of perdition. See, people criticize Judas, right? But Judas had a ministry. I don't recall ever seeing a lot of conversations between Jesus and Judas. Do you? I don't recall many. His ministry was exactly what he came with. His ministry was to get Christ to the cross. And he did that. He was to get Christ to the cross. And even though he was called the devil, y'all know what the word devil means, right? It means the accuser. He was going to accuse him. But he was not called a person who was not called. He had been called to do what he had done. We all have Judases in our life. We have to thank God for our Judases because they get us to our destiny. If the old you never dies, the new you will never live. And if you never ever get back up out of your situation or come out of the grave of where you've been, you will never rise up to something greater. Never. And I don't think, I really don't think, because he said, I haven't lost one. And then Paul says, the same one who ascended, descended. See, I have a theory about it. I personally don't think he left Judas in hell. I don't think so. Not the one that I love. I can't see it, right? Because I have a feeling that when he went down, he said, I haven't lost one, but. What you talking about, God, right? God ain't going to lose nobody. So he went down. I can imagine people saw him. Satan saw him. Demons saw him. He's here. He's here. What is he here for? Because every time they saw him, they identified him. And I can imagine Jesus was walking through saying, wait, hold on. Has anybody seen Judas? Where's Judas? And somebody probably said he's sitting over there under a tree. Or sitting in the back somewhere. And I can imagine Jesus went to the back and walked him with him. I just can't imagine he left him there. Because Judas was called to be who he is. See, while we're rebuking the devil, thinking that everything that brings us to that hard place, outside of our comfort zone, while we're thinking God is against that thing, because it's in a person that we can't agree with, doesn't mean that we're right about that. There are people who've been called to bring you trouble. There are people who've been called to bring you trouble. There are people who've been called to bring you trouble. There are people who've been called to get you to your destiny place. There are some things that you go through on your job and in other places that are meant to birth the best out of you. They're not meant to make you mad. You can call on the Lord all day because that's what you're supposed to. The devil was created to give God glory. I hear the pastor say it all the time. And however he's got to do that, it's going to happen. And sometimes it's through using somebody who's got access to you. So what am I saying? Instead of being mad, instead of giving up, instead of deciding it ain't gonna work, instead of thinking prayer helps everybody but you, instead of feeling forgotten, instead of thinking God don't hear you, instead of thinking the world is against you, why not lean into the possibilities? Why not, instead of having this empty cup and walking around trying to get a drop from him and a drop from her and a drop over here and a drop over there, why not lean into this living water? instead of trying to fill a cup, if I had 100 possibilities in my life that could give me a drop, I still don't have a half a cup of water. I'm going to be thirsty. I'm going to keep taking this trip back to the same well. When Jesus said something to her about taking the trip back, it wasn't about her coming to that particular well. It's about you are going to keep doing the same thing. It's about being in the same habit, circling around the same mountain, back and forth to the same place, looking at the same people, doing the same things over and over and over and over, because you'll never be satisfied. But if you lean into the living water, if you lean into the Spirit, if you lean into what God has for you, God will quench your thirst. So let's lean into the possibilities. Let's give ourselves over by being teachable, trainable, and coachable to, yes, the Word of God, to the man of God, to the Spirit of God, so that we can live a fuller life. Amen? Let's give God a hand of praise. Amen, amen. Pray that you got something good out of that message. It's personal decision time. And it's you.